This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast, live on Facebook. Apologies to people who are listening to this podcast in the audio form. You don't get to see Wayne wearing a Yankees hat as though we're going to get baseball anytime soon.
Soon. It's going to happen. We're watching baseball live.
I don't know about that, Wayne, man. I mean, right now the owners are being kind of jerks, but
you know, we can hope though, right?
Fingers crossed. Meanwhile, Eschbaugh's wearing a lager hat. That's Adam Eschbaugh. That's Wayne Holt. I'm Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan. And we thought we'd do this Facebook Live thing again since it seemed to do okay the last time. So why not?
If you're going to participate,
you can leave a comment. I'll see it. Maybe we'll respond to it while we're doing this podcast. So the last time we chatted, gentlemen, we were in a weird state of what's going to happen with North Carolina's Safer at Home Phase 2 initiative to combat coronavirus. And there was an expected attitude at the time when we did this last Thursday that breweries were in this weird gray area. They weren't quite restaurants, but they also weren't like straight up bars. What do you do? And on Friday, when Governor Cooper decided to, when he laid out the plan, breweries essentially were not included at that point in time, at least initially. But then all of a sudden, because, hey, lobbyists are going to lobby, at like 5 o'clock, we ended up getting the updated information that breweries would be included. So I don't know. I feel like, Adam, you should probably walk us through what happened last week. I know you were on the call with the Brewers Guild. There was a lot of confusion as to what was going to take place, as to what was going to happen with breweries. So what happened in that 24 hours when we did the podcast last week to when they decided to let breweries happen?
So it was what, Wednesday or Thursday last week when – it wasn't there last Wednesday. The announcement was made.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, we were on a meeting, a town hall meeting, essentially is what they called it, with the Brewers Guild to kind of explain, hey, we're working on this. We're trying to get some kind of resolution. And then by, like you said, 5 o'clock on Friday, 5:30 on Friday, it was updated and resolved.
Because I had you on the radio at like 4:45 with the expectation this could be dated, but the expectation.
I thought you guys got it going because you were on the air, right?
Nope. That must have been what it was, actually. No, you're right about that.
So, I mean, from everything I understand, the guild really worked hard to allow tap rooms to participate in being open. I don't really know the details other than that. I just know that there was a lot of speculation, a lot of hope that we were going to be a part of it. And then it kind of felt like the rug was pulled out from under everybody when the actual announcement came out, and then, you know, within 48 hours, it was resolved, and several folks actually opened up for the weekend. We did not. A lot of, several breweries didn't and still haven't, and they're rolling out plans to do so. I think, you know, to each his own, we wanted to make sure we were as safe as possible and as deliberate and organized as we possibly could be when we could open. And so we didn't at Mason Jar, we didn't open until yesterday. Several people were opening today. Several people opened Friday night. So
they did. But one of the things I've seen, Adam, and we talked about this a little bit last week.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people for hire. You know, they're trying to hire people. Help wanted signs.
Mm-hmm.
So is what we talked about last week happening where people are not returning to their jobs because they can make more on unemployment? Because there's a lot of breweries, a lot of bars, not so much bars yet, but a lot of breweries and bottle shops that are hiring people.
I can't speak for others. We did the same thing to ask for some more people. Our point of view is that we want to have more staff available because we've changed procedures. So when we could have one or two bartenders manning the bar in an effective manner you know, 10, 11 weeks ago, under these new policies that, we have, we can't do that anymore. We have to have almost like a host stand taken care of. Our bartenders are basically roaming all the time because we really have people spread out, especially when it's not raining and you have people outside. You've got people kind of all over the place. And not that we're big brother by any means, but we have a system in place at our place where we need to know where people are. We basically help them get seated. We don't seat them, but they get to choose where they want to go. But we need to know where they are because if they want to move, they need to let us know so that we can spray down that table, clean and sanitize that table and move them to another place that is cleaned and sanitized. Like, so we need some more staff to do that. And our guys, I mean, the benefit of our place is that, our staff, it's mostly, additional income for our guys. Our folks really like getting out and having that community and being a part of our culture that our brewery's got. So they really haven't minded. They know they're not going to make as much probably per hour for right now as they used to. But they also know we want to be as safe as possible, and we want our customers to be as safe as possible too. And I think it's that's why we're hiring some additional staff to take some of that off of the shoulders of our regular staff.
But you're in a situation though, Adam, at Mason Jar, where you've got the space to do such a thing. A lot of breweries do not have this opportunity. And there's also a change, not to get political on it, but essentially the state Senate decided to override Roy Cooper's executive order as it relates to the Safer at Home phase two, and the bars were not included. So the Senate decided, no, we're going to override that, and we're going to allow bars to do that. And bars are different from like your place in that it's easier to do outdoor. And like, so what's the nuance here is it's for the premises, right? So you are at 50% for the entirety of your property. So how many people are you allowed in your case, how many people are you technically allowed to have on premise?
So as of right now, our like you said, it's based on your fire code, which is indoor seating. How many people you can get out the door in a safe manner.
And you don't have a lot of space there.
Not compared to the outside, absolutely not. So it's 93 people.
Okay.
Half of that, we take half of that. We're at 46 on our capacity. I know they're trying to work on something that could. I'm sorry.
46.5.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog. 46 and a dog. only if it's Paul Zer on the bar. But no, we. You know, they're from my understanding, they're trying to get something passed that could allow more people to be outside, and we've got. And obviously I'm speaking for us. I've got 25 different seating sections available, and that's anywhere from 2 to 6 people on there. A lot of picnic tables, and they're all spread out between 6 and 10 feet apart. So, you know, we want to make it as safe and as comfortable for people as possible. So we could accommodate more, you know, and I look at some of these other breweries that may not have a lot of indoor space that could accommodate more people outside. Like, look at Hall River. Hall River is like my prime example.
Hall River.
You've got nobody that can be inside.
No, you can get your beer inside. You get your beer inside. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you know, hope it's one of those things right now where, you know, we've got obviously the people making the rules haven't necessarily been in our position, but I like to feel like nobody intentionally tries to screw you over. I'm an idealist. I get that. I'm very naive, but hopefully they'll be educated enough to say, hey, let these guys handle it appropriately. You know, I don't know. I'm not getting political at all. I just hope that everybody can be safe and accommodating and still succeed.
So one of the comments I read as I was prepping, trying to record up to place this afternoon with the bars, one of the comments I read was, obviously the people who are making these laws have never been in a bar. Obviously you don't know. I got cackled at that one. But to your point, though, I stopped at a Bond yesterday. They've had a food truck there from noon until whatever,
yeah,
every night. So yesterday I was just running, didn't have time to really do much. I rode by and saw a food truck there. It was Hell Yeah. So I stopped and had lunch, got a beer, got a chicken salad sandwich. The chicken salad sandwich was huge and it was phenomenal, of course. But I guess it was like me and one other person sitting outside. And as soon as I get up and walk up to put my glass in the outdoor tray and throw my trash away, the guy goes, "Are you done over there?" And he immediately goes over and cleans the table. So is that required, or is that just something that you and obviously Bond at this point or other breweries, is that required, or is that something everybody's doing?
Yes and no. We all had to take a course, basically, in, you know, the procedures to make sure we're doing things the way the state wants them done.
Right.
It was an NC State initiative, and it's all online, and there are certain like requirements, and then there are suggestions.
Okay.
And I want everybody to know how much we're spraying down tables and how clean we're keeping everything. And we've got a schedule even to hit bathrooms every 30 minutes. And we put a post out the other night, just kind of highlighting all of that stuff so that when people do show up, they know we're doing everything we possibly can to keep them safe.
When you get my age, you do that anyway.
What's that?
When you get my age, you do that anyway.
Gotcha.
Wayne.
When you chill. You guys are always calling me old, so I'm just going with it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Anyway, you all keep talking. I'm trying to fix a Periscope issue here. You all keep going.
Does that mean we're not being seen right now? Are we not
live? No, we're on Facebook Live, but for whatever reason. I think we had a hacking attempt, I think, on the 99.9 account not that long ago.
Yeah, they were just trying to get to us.
Either way, I'm trying to fix that right now. So y'all talk about
okay.
Yeah, I mean, with the number of viewers. I mean, even I told you guys, even my mom watched it the next day. She texts me and says, "Hey, I'm watching the podcast."
Okay, that's funny.
Right. I mean, Adam, can your mom say that, Joe? I mean, I'm sure your dad probably watches it, Joe. But
well, it's funny. The funny thing about my dad, I think you brought that up intentionally to tell you the story. So my dad actually went out to Bond Brothers this past weekend, I think it was. And he's like, "Yeah, one of the Bond Brothers." I was like, well, which was he like? Did he look like a runner? Did he have blonde hair? Like, who were you talking to? He's like, "Well, you knew who you were." I'm like, "Okay, well, that can be any number of people over at Bond Brothers." But I think he was talking to Jay or Jeremy. And from what I could surmise, and he apparently, the way my dad tells the story, my dad's not exactly a reliable narrator, but
let the facts stand the way of a good story ever.
Exactly. And my dad, the way my dad tells the story, he's like, "Yeah, they called you a trophy fanboy."
They're
and,
right.
And I said, "Well, yeah, but I said, if there's any other brewery that we talk about a lot, it would be Bond Brothers." But my dad said, he's like, "Yeah, well, my son sends me here to get the beer and I take it to him anyway. So it's whatever." And they thought that was funny or whatever it is. But, you know, I actually should have busted out the Crowler that my dad brought me over for from Bond Brothers. I had not had the chance to try the Raleigh Half Marathon beer, the Toe the Line, which I guess they still had some tall boys left over from that race event back in February. So I haven't had a chance to try that either, but always good stuff from Bond.
Yeah. Are you back to Mr. Fix It now?
I'm going to go back to fixing it.
Okay, great. After Wayne distracted you, after you specifically asked us not to distract
it's
you.
It's fine. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. It's okay.
Well, you should be able to shake it off. Anyway, back to everything that's going on. So this latest thing, which I've been kind of buried in my own stuff. I really haven't followed what's going on, but I know there's, you know, and Joe touched on it, the state Senate kind of just saying, all right, we need to go ahead and let bars open. Wayne, what do you know about that?
Yeah, I just read the articles today. So the Senate passed it, the House passed it. Before it even got to the House, Cooper said he was going to veto it. Doesn't matter. The House and the Senate both passed it. The House was, I mean, overwhelmingly in favor of it. The Senate was much, I mean, the Senate was overwhelmingly in favor. The House was closer, but it's going to happen. And kind of the same rules, 50%. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, and if I understood it right, it's all outside. You can't be inside at all.
Right, right.
So
just, I'm not taking a side here. I'm asking if you're outside, if you're doing the appropriate thing, you're taking the necessary precautions, do you guys see a problem?
Well, the problem is, as one of the borrowers pointed out, so let's say we open at 4 o'clock and it's 3:30 and a storm blows up. Do you call all your people and tell them not to come in? Or worst case scenario, you know, there's half your capacity. So let's say there's 66 people outside,
right?
And the storm blows up, and you've got open taps for everyone. What happens? They run to their cars because they can't run inside. So there's some logistics, and I get it. I mean, I understand, and I sympathize and both empathize with them. It's a tough place.
Everything is tough though. Now, I mean, because the same applies for the brewery. It's like, Adam, what the heck are you supposed to do? Like, I'm planning on making a trip out to Mason Jar this weekend. Weather permitting, right? And I know, like, I feel like we're in Seattle as of late.
Yeah. It's a good thing all this rain came down, not the past 66 days, you know, when we were locked down.
Right. You know what, though? It's an encapsulation of 2020, isn't it? It's like, all right, cool. Now we can kind of like start working back towards things. Oh, yeah. Guess what? We're going to rain every day. Like, what do you think NASCAR's thinking right now? They're like, holy crap. We got the sports world to ourselves. Right. Because nobody's watching Bundesliga. They're going to watch some good old-fashioned American racing. Oh, yeah, here's the problem. It's going to rain every day. So like,
we finally got racing back to Darlington. Not so fast.
Although Charlotte should be able to race tonight. But still, like last night, they had to put another opportunity for midweek racing, and it rains. Yeah. So yeah, to your point, it's like here's your first full weekend where you can really kind of implement these changes, these ideas that you want to do. And then what do you got to deal with? Like scattered thunderstorms and things like that. But let's say I do go to your place and all of a sudden it's going to open up rain. What am I supposed to do at that point?
Right. Well, that's the thing. So
go to my car and wait it out?
Well, we have some inside seating available. So the thing is, and we have.
Am I in the VIP?
The dead.
This becomes a party room, like at the club. Like, what are you going to do? Like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're not on the list.
That's also the benefit right now. Just, I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but it's also the benefit of having half your indoor capacity as your total capacity right now.
Okay.
So that means if somebody has to go to the car and your wife and kids have to go to the car while you're paying the tab inside, it just is what it is. But it's also, I was telling my guys about it. I was like, this is like pool rules now. Like if we have thunderstorms, we're cutting staff and you know, we don't need them because most people aren't going to come out because they know they're going to be outside or mostly outside.
Don't get me started on pools.
Right. I was going to say, that's a whole other thing.
Don't get me started on my pool, man.
Pool man.
Well,
you got a pool man.
We have to make reservations in 2 hour blocks and they're not even having a sign up genius. You have to email.
Ooh, okay. At least with my neighborhood pool, we have a sign-up genius.
No,
there was some confusion over how sign-up genius worked.
No, sign-up genius might be the easiest website you can possibly create something with. And our guys are emailing, so you can send an email, and you may or may not get a response back. And then who knows? And there's an hour between 2 hour blocks, I guess, for cleaning.
Yeah, for cleaning at our pool. At our pool, there's 30 minutes. At our pool, they've got it down to 30 minutes. But what was funny about our, at least with our pool, well, here, the pool is a good example of what breweries and bars would have to deal with, right? You have all the best laid plans of how you want to.
Not even close, Joe. The pools are way worse than the brewers and the bars, I promise you.
Well, I don't have to. Well, true. I don't have to make a reservation to go to a freaking bar, you know, or right. a brewery. But what happens if you show up? Let's do this one thing at a time to close the loop on the pools. So at least at my pool, there's a sign-up genius. The issue was they didn't quite understand that with sign-up genius, like I could log in and say the Ovius family is going to go to the pool and I'm going to take up four slots, right. which goes to the allotment of 96 total slots that are available, right? And it will deduct from the 96. So if I sign up for the pool and there's 96 slots available, but the Ovius family is going to go, me, Kelly, and the kids, well, it should drop down to 92, right? So it's fine. But our poor pool board didn't quite get that. So they were like, you need to make individual appointments for like each family member. It was like, no. Sign Up Genius already does that for you. Right. So there was some confusion in the first weekend. But the thing is, you got to be understanding, be understand that they're in a tough position. And that's why actually I had a lot of problems with like on our Facebook page for the pool group. It was like, people were like, well, my summer's ruined because of these 2 hour blocks twice, you know, these two hour blocks. I'm like, no, coronavirus ruined your summer, not the pool board's decision to do these types of things. Or my personal favorite was the one that said, I'm sick and tired of taking one for the team. What? Like, would you let your kids talk like that? For heaven's sake. Like, it's we're all suffering through this. If we all are cool with it, then we can get through it, right? And I think the same, this is the long-winded way, because we do have time to kill here. This is the long-winded way of saying the same thing about going to a brewery or a bar, where, look, the circumstances aren't going to be ideal. Please be understanding with your favorite places. Please be understanding with the people that are working there, because they're also going through the newness of this weekend, and things might not go as smoothly as you are used to having when you go to a brewery. And that kind of growing pain, that kind of adjustment period, especially this weekend with a lot of these places finally implementing their ideas after they had this past weekend to figure things out, like just be understanding of it. That's all I ask in these situations.
So here's the deal. And I'm just going to say this. You guys know I've had several past lives. When I was in college, I ran a pool.
Yeah.
We had a maximum capacity every day. And all we did was keep a list and a tally. When we got to that capacity, we cut it off. People waited. When people would leave, we could let that number come in. I don't understand why. That's essentially what we're doing at the brewery. Mm-hmm. It's essentially what we're doing at the restaurants. Why wouldn't pools do the same thing? Why do you have to make a reservation?
Because
otherwise, a week in advance, when I have to send an email.
Well, I think the issue is with the pool specifically is I think groups of families like to go together, and you can coordinate when you're all going to go together.
That's a little bit different,
but like the same thing, you know, you also are in a situation of right. It's capacity. How long are you going to allow people to hang out at the pool? You know, there are some people that hang out at the pool all day.
There could be people that are there early and they want to do that. They have the spot.
But what do you do to make it equitable?
No matter what, there's still a capacity, right?
How often do pools really reach capacity?
How often is it enforced is the question.
Well, there is that too.
It's how often it's enforced.
But I can speak from my own experience. The only time that pools really reach a capacity is like Memorial Day weekend on July 4th. And we all know after July 4th, nobody goes to the freaking pool. So it is what it is. Now, what I'm getting at is, you know, like I'm keeping tabs on what's going on at Disney, right? As they're slowly reopening aspects of downtown Disney or Disney Springs or whatever it is. Here's the problem with the capacity stuff. At like 10:30 this morning, as of this morning, by like 10:30, they already reached capacity at Disney Springs, and they were telling people, sorry, we're not letting you park. You can't come in, all that kind of stuff. And you're going to have to wait. So I'll be curious to see if bars and breweries specifically, because we know that at least that's going to be the case, just how many of them are going to have to deal with people just sitting there waiting in their car, waiting in a line to go sit and then drink a beer. Like, what are you going to do, Adam, this weekend, if you've reached capacity with people sitting outside at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, I mean, how do you handle that? You're just going to have people just kind of sit and wait until people wrap up?
Yeah, so we actually have an app. There's an app called Waitlist, and we use it for the restaurants. And we're going to use it for the brewery too. And if you're in the area, you want to put your name on the waitlist, great. You show up, your name is on the waitlist. If you're next in line and your name's on the waitlist, you haven't shown up yet, we go to the next person in line.
Okay.
Gotcha. And then come back. That's basically how it works.
Is there a VIP waitlist? Because, I mean, I might go to Fuqua this weekend, and Joe's already set to.
You show up in that hat, you're on a VIP waitlist in some other brewery.
Oh, man.
You can only wear that hat across town, man.
Wow.
Oh, my.
I knew there was going to be a list.
I'm a miserable Orioles fan. Y'all both know this, and I'm loving it that there's no baseball season right now because I don't have to suffer through it.
Lots of reasons I left Fuqua. That's one of them. It's not very welcoming. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate you, man. With friends like you, we don't need any enemies.
Easy. I want to. No, I don't know, Joe. I mean, that's why they're working on this next step to allow for some more leniency outside. I'm confident that we can accommodate more people outside, but we're also not above the rules that we're given. So we're gonna do everything by the book. You've known me and Wayne long enough that. You know, that's what we do. We're going to play within the rules. I'm going to do that. And we want to make sure everybody knows that. I want to make sure everybody, when they show up, everything's legal. They're as safe and comfortable as possible. And I do want to say, because just like everything else, it's become some partisan thing. I think by doing this, it's not any kind of political stance. Like I just want to make sure everybody feels comfortable there. I want to make sure know we take their health and comfort seriously. That's it.
So to that point, Adam, because I've only been to Bond because Bond is three blocks from where I live.
Sure.
And so I've stopped by there a couple of times. Like
and
I said,
they have great beer.
I went there, right. But I went there for lunch yesterday, and it was me and one other guy out there. But when I walked up, before I could walk in the building, I had to put my mask on, or you had to buy a mask, or you had to get leave. So,
gotcha. And I know Raleigh Brewing's doing the same thing. They said Raleigh Brewing put out their thing saying, please wear a mask. If you don't have one will be provided for you.
Well, provided more than $30, you have to buy it, or you have to go back to your car, because they're not giving away masks. But what do you do? Are you requiring everybody that walks in to order a beer to have a mask on? Or are you encouraging to wear a mask? Because all the Bond employees are wearing masks, and the customers walking in have to have a mask.
Gotcha. So all of our employees wear a mask. Sure. And we prefer people to. We want people to feel comfortable and safe, right? And same thing at the restaurants. Kind of the stance is, and several of our people have asked, like, what do we have to wear a mask while we're here? And I'm like, look, we're not requiring it. But here's what I do. If I'm going to a place, if I'm taking my wife or taking my family to a place, we're going to wear masks. We're going to wear masks while we're waiting on our table. And once we get there to sit down to eat, that's when we'll take them off.
Why are you not requiring masks?
We just haven't gotten there yet.
Can I show up in no shoes, no shirt?
It's Fuqua, Joe.
What's that?
It's Fuqua. You never know.
And you know what? That's a valid point. Different rules in different towns. No, I mean, look. In this situation,
Food Lion, they prefer you to wear a mask. You're not required right now.
All right.
That's it. And because, quite honestly, basically the way we're set up, we have a tent outside, and you show up to the tent, you wait at the tent for somebody to come get you, and you go to your table. You're not really interacting with people.
Gotcha.
Seating right now. Nobody sits inside.
No, we have some inside seating.
See, that's where Bond is different. Bond right now is not allowing any inside seating. I mean, they've got to set up pretty cool. You walk up, there's two lines, even though they're not quite 6 feet apart. They're close, the two lines. Mm-hmm. Could be within 6 feet. But it's when you get to that line, they've got hand sand on the table. You have to wash up.
Yep.
You don't have a mask. You turn around and leave. And then there's somebody standing there watching it. But you go in, and then you exit in different directions. So the roll-up door they have, and then they've got the side door on the left, the side door on the right. So they're kind of funneling people out. So you don't really have all those doors, so it'd be a little bit harder, but they're not letting anybody inside. So
a couple things. As long as it's not storming, the garage door is pretty much up.
Yeah, you have that open door.
Also, we're not doing any lines. The only line that you'll see is when you arrive, you get out of your car, and you go to the tent. If there's a few people waiting, you may not order at the bar. You're taken to a seat. It's all table service.
Okay. So our
bartenders are pretty much servers, and they'll come up to you. We actually have little signs that say "Beer Me." That if you need something, you put it on your table. We scrub it down every time. We have a list of procedures that's laminated. That gets scrubbed down every time, along with the tables, and they get brought back. So there aren't lines. There's not a backup. The only time, and it says in our procedures, we ask that you stay at your seats. If you need something, let a staff member know. Only get up for a food truck, the bathroom. And that's pretty much the way we're operating right now.
So I think the big takeaway from this is that everybody's going to do things a little differently.
Yeah,
sure. And the big thing is, and that's fine as long as everyone's communicating effectively.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's going to do things a little differently.
Yeah.
Read the signs. If you don't like it, leave. If you can't work within the establishment's rules, just leave. You don't have to make a stink.
Right. What are the chances we get a viral video that comes out of an area brewery where somebody makes a scene because they can't get beer through a mask?
Within two weekends. How much is viral? But I'm gonna say the odds are pretty strong.
Yeah, it's interesting. This week has been an interesting week in that I did the beach on Sunday.
And you didn't go to Brits Donuts, you went to the knockoff.
Hell no. I'm not going to Brits Donuts.
That's a 2 hour wait.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that. No, so we went to Carolina Beach, and we have my dad's best friend growing up has a place out there. Oh. And it's far enough away from the main drag that the access that you can walk to, that's like about a block from the house, makes it so that their area is never overly crowded. So we felt comfortable going to Carolina Beach on Sunday versus, say, Wrightsville, which, sure. I mean, I'm too old to go to Wrightsville now. I had some friends that went to Topsail. Topsail's spread out enough. Yeah. There are certain areas in Emerald Isle, Atlantic Beach, that if you start going to, a little bit up the ways, you can find stretches of beach that not a lot of people are on. So that it's fine, right? So I didn't have any problems going to the beach. But when I went into the Food Lion on the way to the beach, because what we typically do is we hit the Food Line right when we go over the bridge over Snow's Cut, and we get some fried chicken or whatever it is. I was surprised at how we were in the minority of wearing masks in the supermarket, whereas back in Raleigh, if I go to a supermarket, everybody's wearing a mask. So I thought that was interesting. But at the same time, but I wasn't gonna use that as like a, oh my goodness, what's wrong with people? Everybody was socially distanced on the beach. When I went to Flaming Amy's burrito barn there on at the Carolina Beach location, at the Wilmington location, they had it set up so that you could order on your phone, and then if you wanted to eat there, they would allow you to eat outside. I ended up just getting some takeout and bringing it back to the beach. There's nothing like burritos on the beach, right? But so that was an experience. Number one, I think everybody did what they were supposed to do, and that's great. Like more of that, right? And then on Tuesday, I went and got my haircut at Arrow. Now, I was one of the actually, I think I was the first customer in the Arrow location that I go to, because when everything had shut down, Pete and them over there sent out an email saying, hey, look, we don't know how long it's going to be. If you want to help out, like a lot of other local businesses, they're like, buy a shirt, proceeds go to whoever is your stylist. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Least I could do is buy a shirt, donate the money to the stylist to help them get through, you know, best you can.
Pull off that hat. You use a stylist for that?
What's that?
You use a stylist for that, not just a barber?
Well, at Aero, there's stylists.
It's that radio money.
Yeah, there's stylists. Now, if this were me visiting Chris at the old professional barber shop in Cameron Village, then I would call them a barber.
Okay.
But Chris and the crew have moved on to somewhere else near Cameron Village. But anyway.
They're probably stylists now, actually.
What's that?
They're probably stylists now as well.
Yeah, maybe they are. Now, I don't think Chris is a stylist. Call it a hunch. Shout out to Chris. But so it was interesting the process that they had. They weren't going to serve beer. It was everything as contactless possible. They wanted your credit card ahead of time so they could just charge it. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted a tip, you would just basically tell them, here's how much you want to tip. Whereas usually it's the whole point of sale thing. But even there, it was wear a mask when you go in. They're wearing a mask. And if you don't have a mask, they'll give you a mask. So, but again, all that stuff is inside. All that is, you know, everybody's on top of each other. I get the sense that all of this is to say that each place has their own different protocols and rules. But for the most part, 90% of the people are doing what they're asked. And I think that needs to be focused on more so than the attention seekers that we tend to see on social media. You know, the person who goes to the supermarket and refuses to wear a mask and they happen to be filming themselves telling the people, I'm not wearing a mask. And I know why they're doing that. They know they're going to do that because they know it's going to get picked up. It's going to go viral. And it, not because of people who support them, it goes viral 90% of the time because people want to dunk on that person, but they don't care. They're getting the engagement. It gets picked up on the news. It gets picked up on Facebook and things like that. I think that is, I'm not saying don't post, like don't comment on those. I'm simply pointing out that social media is a really, really bad place to get sentiment and look around more so than what you see on social media. And if you actually take the time to look around, you're going to see that most of the people out there are compassionate and showing empathy to what's going on, and everybody's kind of understanding and working through it. You're going to run into some bad apples, but those bad apples are few and far between, at least in my experience and what I've seen when I've been out and about. I've seen more people doing what is recommended. I think more people have been doing the things to be respectful than have not. And I think that should be the highlight of the next couple of weeks, more so than anything else.
Yeah, and I've said it for a long time. I mean, Joe, I disagree with it 90%. I think it's 99% of the people want to do right, because there's that 1% of no matter what you are. I mean, I rode, I grew up around motorcycles. I used to own a motorcycle dealership. I played with motorcycles and rode motorcycles for years. And now we've been in the beer business for a long time. You've got that 1% of no matter what you're doing. It can be cameras. It can be beer. It can be motorcycles. It doesn't really matter. Any hobby, anything that people are passionate about, going to a bar, whether it's wine, beer, whiskey, you got that 1%. And right now that 1% is being more vocal. And you're right. They're taking the videos. They're trying to set things in motion. And, you know, I don't want to see it. I really don't. Joe, you made a comment about being at a restaurant a few weeks ago where somebody was just kind of showing out a little bit. And you spoke up. And Scott McWhorter, who was on our podcast a few weeks ago, said the same thing, that we have to, as a society, just have to kind of look at that person and go, really, what's up? Well, not to start a fight. It's not to try to engage with them. It's just be nice to people. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
You know, I got a text last night and again today from different people in the industry that have become friends of mine. And they're already texting me, telling me what's going on in their world. And they've only been opened up for less than a week. And it's bad what they're putting up with. These folks that are bartenders, that we know that they left more money on unemployment to come back to these bars, not because it was about the money, but it was about the social engagement for them. They want to get back to the world they live in and the people they love and trust. but yet they're being disrespected. They aren't being tipped properly. They aren't being talked to properly. And it's not good. I mean, just be nice. Just be nice to people. What was the beer that Ponysaurus did?
Don't be mean. Don't be mean to people. Yeah, that was the one. Don't be mean to people. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we got to touch on before we get out of here.
One thing, and I think this is something we're going to see a little bit more of. And Joe, I know that you've been following this. The restaurants that are closing, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, we lost Cameron, the Cameron Village Grill, which when you go to the Flying Biscuit, if it's full on Sunday morning, you want brunch, you go next door and it's a shorter wait. It's fantastic. The Bloody Mary's there, the food, everything is fantastic. And G. Patel has decided to shut that down permanently.
Oakwood Cafe, which was pretty much the only place in downtown Raleigh, really in the area, where you could get like legitimate Cuban food, Argentinian food. They decided to close it down. Trophy Tap and Table, you know, Trophy's continuing on. Trophy Pizza on Morgan's going to be continuing on. You also have the Maywood location. I know they have plans for that, but it's interesting that they decided to go ahead and move on from Trophy Tap and Table. They own the building. They say they've got some other concept that they might be working on and things like that. But that
it's kind of cycling through concepts every few years anyway.
I was going to say, you know, it's unfortunate that you see it kind of closed down. But in fairness, as you mentioned, Adam, that has been several different iterations ever since they moved on from Busy Bee. And even Busy Bee the Busy Bee saw different iterations before they eventually gave way to Trophy Tap and Table. You remember it was a rotisserie chicken place before they kind of went back to a Busy Bee type menu. And they also had the Hive that was upstairs that eventually gave way to a Belgian beer bar. That Belgian beer bar turned into an event space. I mean, you guys did a Beercana media event at the Hive back in the day, too. Yeah. So I'll be curious to see the guys over at Trophy end up doing with that space, because it's prime real estate. You know, like
they've never done anything that was bad. They just do something and then they decide to do something different. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's kind of their not to say it's their playground, but they do creative things.
They do.
My point for bringing it up is that a precursor of what we're going to see on the brewing side? You know, there's breweries that have shut down in other parts of the state. We haven't seen it locally yet, but we at 50% capacity, how many more restaurants and how many breweries are we going to lose? It's just curiosity. Yeah. I mean, you got to think it's coming, and I hope not.
I'm interested to see. It's obviously this is the first week.
Yeah.
What this phase is, and I'm interested to see how things, I mean, for us and everybody, how things, you know, obviously buying trends changed. Everybody switched to off-premise models, right? And, you know, John, our main owner, and I were talking earlier in the week, and it was like, all right, well, what's this going to do? Does this mean people are going to buy less to-go beer and come back to drinking, or are they going to get used to having that beer in their fridge, but come in and have a couple pints and then take beer home with them? I have no idea what this is going to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see.
I think certain locations that have had success with the drive-through model, I know you guys have had great success with it. I know Bond's had phenomenal success with it, and a few other places as well. And I was having this conversation with some customers at Bond a couple of days ago. I don't know what their intention is. I've not asked them. I've seen Jay and Jeremy, but they're very busy right now, so I've not picked their brain. But that drive-through model, I think, needs to stay at least until we know where the true new normal is.
Sure.
Imagine getting rid of those drive-throughs.
There's no reason to get rid of it right now.
Right, because, you know, what happens is
no deliveries on Wednesday.
Right. Well, even when you can come in and sit down and have a beer, and let's say it's 100% capacity and there's no rules. How many people pick up food on the way home to take to the family? How many people will pick up that beer and take home as well? So I think it's not for everyone, but I think it can be a business model, or at least an addition to a lot of businesses.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. If it sounds a little bit different, it's because we've been doing this on Facebook Live. At some point, though, guys, we're going to have to – we can get together now, right?
Do we attempt this next week?
I can drink my beer in my place with, you know – no, we can get together. I think we should get together. I told you, I'm sinner, so whenever you guys are ready, let me know.
Yeah. I guess we might have to convene on your
place. Do we need to base this around Joe's dinner schedule again like we did tonight?
Yes.
Well, last week, too. Remember, he was late because of dinner.
Well, dinner is very important, guys. I had burgers tonight. It was very good.
Well, if you like, I mean, I can cook dinner and you guys can come have dinner. And then,
although I did move on from beer today. I do have the, I actually have Top of the Hill Distillery in here today.
Nice. That's good stuff. That's stuff. Yeah.
Shout out to Topo.
I've knocked out a 4-pack of the Pink Boots collab, the Pink Boots beer, the IPA they did.
Yeah. That what from the pond? Stuff.
Yeah, that's what I picked
up. Yeah, because that's also in my fridge as well. Over the weekend, I did go through some beer. The Crow's Table, which was one of the fooder beers out of Trophy on Morgan, where they had with cherries. It was very, very good. We'll close on this. Also, was disappointed in myself because I thought I could identify Corona beer versus the other Mexican beers. On the radio, Joe Giglio, my co-host on the afternoon on the Fan, last week I got him on a catch-up challenge. He was very much convinced and was bragging about how he could identify Heinz ketchup versus the other ketchups. He only does Heinz. So I did a blind taste test with Fries, and he failed miserably. He actually chose.
He wasn't even blind. Like, what threw him off was actually the color.
Yeah, he was thrown off by that stuff. Yeah, right. And he ended up going with Hunt's ketchup over Heinz ketchup,
which he said he hated.
Right. Funny how that works, right?
I'm a purchase guy.
So back on Cinco de Mayo, we were talking about Mexican beers, and he's like, "Look, all Mexican beers taste the same to me." I'm like, "Well, that's wrong." And I said, "He's like, you can easily tell the difference between Corona, Modelo, Tecate, etc." He's like, "Nah, that you're full of crap." So he challenged me on that. Although he did pull a fast one on me, he did pour nothing but Sol in 5 different cups and told me they were different beers.
5 different Coronita bottles.
Yeah, 5 different Coronita bottles that were filled with Sol. I don't want to get into the logistics of those were contaminated bottles. He did not do a very good job washing them out.
And you know, you got carbonation breakout.
You do. Temperature. There's temperature changes.
Absolutely.
Which is what threw me off. I also psyched myself out because I was looking for differences.
Yeah.
And again, I was convinced that temperature changes actually were the thing that were throwing me off. I thought I had picked Corona, and then he revealed that we're all Sol. Ha ha ha. We all had fun at my expense.
Sol's basically Corona anyway. So.
But then we actually did the actual challenge. And I
said you failed that one too.
I did fail that one as well. Well, yes and no.
I'm just going by what he commented.
Yeah. Modelo and Corona are very similar, in my opinion.
Really?
I find them similar.
I'll tell you why I don't, but go ahead.
Okay, so I was looking for Corona, but the thing that I mistook as the familiar taste was actually Modelo. So when I boiled them down to the two beers I thought were Corona, right? The one that tasted the most, because I drink more Modelo than I do Corona.
Sure.
I was like, okay, you know, this this is Corona. No, it ended up being a Modelo. And the other one that I thought was Modelo ended up being Corona. But I was like, I could tell, like, but this one's Tecate. These other ones I'm not too familiar with. One was Pacifico and the other one was Sol. But I missed it by picking Modelo over Corona. So I got it wrong. Modelo, it is what it is.
Was a Modelo in a bottle or a can?
They were all in, no, it was in a can.
Really? And it still tasted too similar to Corona. Because my theory is Corona always tastes skunk to me, like immediately. I get skunk on Corona. So, and then unless you're at a resort in Mexico, you really don't see Corona in a can very often.
Fair.
But Modelo, I get in cans.
The Modelo was in a can. The Corona, I think, came in like a Coronita bottle. So it is what it is. I mean, look, I got it wrong. But like I did identify the Modelo and the Corona. I just had them mixed. But I got them wrong. Yeah. It's no big deal.
You're just sports radio, Joe. You always get it wrong.
Yeah, well, I you know the it's called a short memory. That's what it is. Anyway, well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. Reminder, you can check out the 919 Beer Podcast wherever you get your podcast, iTunes or Apple, I should say, Google, Spotify, whatever. 5 stars only. If you got any beef with it, it's Wayne's fault. We all know it's Wayne's fault. And then maybe next week we'll actually like all see each other for once. How's that for a concept?
That'd be cool.
Do we get a guest on for that?
We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what's up with that. All right. We will all see you next week. Reminder, it's all on the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. We've got a daily coronavirus update. Just straight facts, information, real quick. You can move about your day. Just giving you the latest information on coronavirus in Wake County and throughout North Carolina. And we also have a bunch of other great podcasts on the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, including this one, obviously. And we'll see you all next week.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.